Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Father, at this first morning of the year 2017, this is the desire of our hearts, Lord, that You would reign. You will reign in us, in our families, in this nation of ours, Lord. Father, we want to pray right now that this very morning, Lord, You will begin to pour out Your Holy Spirit in a great measure upon every one of us this very moment. Right now, at the sound of this prayer, Lord, we pray, we implore You, pour out Your Holy Spirit upon every man, every woman, every child in this sanctuary right now, Lord. Infuse us, Lord, with Your presence. Infuse us, Lord. Help our minds be aligned to You, Lord. Right now, Father, we pray, pour out Your Holy Spirit now. Pour out Your Spirit now, Lord. Upstairs and downstairs, the front, the back, all the way. Father, we pray that Your presence will be so full in our lives, in this place this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Pour out, Lord. Fill us anew, Lord. Fill us afresh, Lord. Renew us, Lord. Bring times of refreshing. Hallelujah. Fill us, Lord. Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord. Lord, we could not do this without You. Your word says that unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. So, Father, today we come to this place, Lord, we know it's all about You, Lord. Our one desire is that You will reign in our lives and in our communities. So this morning, Lord, we want to give You all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, all the thanks, all the gratitude of our hearts. Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Happy New Year. Before you sit down, why don't you greet somebody? Happy New Year this morning. I know some of us had a late night because you were watching fireworks. What a way to usher in the new year, isn't it? Wow. Well, it seems to me like 2016 just slipped by just like that, okay? I mean, so much has happened, but it seems like it was just a blink of an eye. And I don't know how many of you remember that we started last year with this thing. You remember this? Right? And I don't know how many of you are still, you know, this turns out to be very hard wood. Very hard to carve on it. So I actually had to machine some words into this thing, you know, in my own workshop. So, you know, we put some words on it. But, you know, a year just went by just like, where did it go? You know, where did the days and the seconds and the minutes, where did it all go? Just like that, right? Do you feel like it went by really fast? Right? That shows that you're getting old, right? Because you're young, you don't feel this way, right? But, you know, we just feel like the year has gone by so quickly. It didn't seem so long ago that we began a new year. Our building project is halfway through, all right? By this time next year, you know, I mean, you're going to see a building up there, all right? And, you know, 2018, the first quarter, we'll probably have some big service there. But you know what? We are just flying through the times, right? And we just saw 2016 slip into history. And now we are standing on the verge and the threshold of a whole new year. We are so close. You can almost smell what the year is going to be. And I don't know if you remember when we started the year, we said that we were going on this journey, right? A journey which the author of Hebrews calls, a journey to a place where the Hebrew authors calls a better place. So I'm going to read that to you from Hebrews chapter 11 as a reminder of where we are in this whole thing, alright? It says, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. It's talking about, you know, we're all coming from some place, okay? A home, we were coming out from a place looking for a homeland, right? And sometimes, you know, along the way, things can get a bit difficult as you make a journey. And sometimes the journey can get a little bit rough and you may be tempted at that point of time to go back, okay? And then he says, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Everyone say better. You know, we are in a journey to a better place. Amen? All of us, we are on a journey. God is wanting us to go to a better place. But you know, sometimes the journey to a better place can get a bit difficult in between, right? You remember the Israelites, they came out from Egypt, right? And they were going to the promised land. But somewhere in between, some of them gave up because it got a little bit difficult. You know, the desert was uncomfortable. The food was a little bit difficult. They knew they were going to a land, a better place, a land filled with, flowing with honey and milk, right? But for that moment, it was difficult. Now, you know, some of us, we are on that journey, right? And God is bringing us to a better place, but I want you to be encouraged that even though along the way, it may seem a little bit difficult, don't give up. Amen? Amen? Okay, don't give up. You know, when I was a primary three, my mom, you know, tricked me into, well, she didn't trick me. She asked me, but, you know, do you want to learn piano? Well, you know, I'm a kid. What do I know, right? So I say yes. You know, once you say yes, you cannot say no, right? So for the next 5 years, I had to learn, practice the piano, all my scales, you know, finger exercises and all that. You know, I can't even, we had a book, terrible book. I can't remember what's the name now. Shikazo, or, I have to remember. But every pianist who ever gone through grade one, grade two, they know they have to do all these finger exercises 1 hour every day, right? That's besides your exam pieces and everything. And then we get to grade five, all my friends quit. I cannot quit because my mom, you know, tiger mom, continue on. But now, you think that was bad. From grade five onwards, it's 2 hours every day until you get to grade eight. You know, I mean, it was difficult. But you know, something strange happened. Around grade six, I began to notice that suddenly I can play stuff that I like. I don't have to play, you know, Bach or Strauss or Beethoven. I don't have to play all this stuff. I can play, you know, pop music because I had gotten good enough to begin to do these things for myself. You understand what I'm trying to say? See, a journey is like that. When you start out, you know, it's kind of boring. Why do I have to do all these things? It's difficult. But, you know, as you go along, you know, you become good. You know, the Bible says those who through practice, through use, have become good at what they do. You know, when you become good, you begin to discover a freedom to do what God wants you to do. So God is bringing all of us to a better place because I'm saying this so that you won't get discouraged. I'm so glad you're still here, right? 1 year on, you guys are still here. Stay on, okay? We're getting there. We're halfway through. Amen? So are we going to a better place? Well, you know what? Because we have chosen to go to a better place, the Bible goes on to say, God, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews, it says, therefore God was not ashamed to be called their God. You know, God is a God of people who are journeying to a better place, right? For He has prepared a city for them. So I want you to be doubly encouraged. Because, you know, while you are struggling, discipling, you are disciplining yourself, okay, you are mastering the skills required to go to that better place, God is waiting for you. He has prepared a place for you. Amen? So be encouraged. I know some of you had challenges, but don't give up. Press on, all right? So this is what the author of Hebrews says. You know, we are making this journey and we are making our way there. And as we go, you have an opportunity to look back and remember this. There's so much has happened in this year, 2016. I mean, really so many things. It's unbelievable. Donald Trump is president, right? So, wow, you know, what a year. I can't imagine what this 2017 is going to be like now, right? It's going to be so exciting, right? Not always easy, but exciting for sure, right? So what we want to do today, okay, this morning, this very first service of the year, what we want to do is we want to take a little bit of time to look back. Because when you look back, gratitude fills our hearts. And we want to learn to thank God. You know, there's so many things that God has done in your life, in my life, in all our community's lives that it's worth our thanking. You know, the Bible talks about these 10 lepers that Jesus healed, right? Jesus came, He healed all 10 of them, and then 9 of them disappeared. They never came. We don't know what happened to them, alright? They were all healed. They went home, and they never came back. But there was one guy. He came back, and he said to Jesus, Jesus, thank you, right? Now, we want to be that one guy, okay? We want to be the one person who came back to God and said, Lord, thank you for 2016. You know, thank you for the ups. Thank you for the downs. Thank you for being there. Amen. Okay, so that's what we want to do. We want to look back, but we also, because we're standing on this verge, we also want to look forward a little bit and anticipate what's going to happen. Okay, in the very last verse of the book of Ezekiel, a name was given to God. And in the book, the verse goes something like this. It says, the name of the city of that day shall be called the Lord is there. Okay, that word, the Lord is there in Hebrew says Jehovah or Yahovah Shama. Okay, everyone say Shama. That means God is present. You know, as we look back throughout the thick and the thin, the highs and the lows, the one thing we can say is God has been there. Amen. Amen. God has watched over us as a nation. You know, I mean, we went for, now people know Singapore is not in China. Okay. After Joseph Schooling, you know, one of the things, but they also know that our, although we are not in China, our armored trucks are in China. Okay. So, I mean, what a year it has been. And through it all, there's something that we remember that God has been there for us. He's been a faithful God. We remember His goodness and His faithfulness. And as we do, we should bring our heart to Him in thanksgiving. Amen. For us to earnestly say to God, say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for seeing us through this year, through everything that's transpired. Thank you for being there. All right. He's done it for us. And you know what? Because He has done it for us, we can trust that He will do it again. Amen. So in 2017, I'm not afraid. Are you? I'm not anxious. I'm not worried. Because you know what? God is there. Amen. Now, 2016 was also special because we embarked on a spiritual journey. Just as we began a physical church building project, we also began a project of building ourselves up spiritually. We embarked on a spiritual journey. It was primarily a year of laying of foundations, alright? We wanted to build this thing, but, you know, like I said, before you can get to the better place, you have to lay a foundation. Now, when you look outside today, after 1 year of building, do you see a building yet? You don't see a building yet. You know, I don't know, as you come in sometimes, as I like to do, I like to put my head inside there and just take a look at what's going on, right? Actually, you don't see a lot. All you see is this big hole in the ground, okay? And you know what they've been doing? They have been building a foundation. They've been digging up the foundation. And we too, throughout the whole of last year, we have been anchoring ourselves to understand God's plan from God's Word. Okay, we are not trying to follow trends. We are not trying to see what popular preachers and teachers say. We are looking at the Word of God and we say, you know, this is what God's plan in the covenant is. So we spent a good time in the year looking at this whole idea of the KPI. I don't know if you remember that. Knowing God's Word, right? Pursuing kingdom values and impacting communities. We're getting there. I think we've kind of got the K down, right? Many of you, probably, you know, for the first time in your life have seen this, the whole span of God's covenant plan all the way from the time of Abraham all the way till the new covenant, right? So we went through the books of the law, we went through Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and finally ended up in the new covenant, in the New Testament. And whether you realize it or not, okay, whether you realize it or not, this foundation in the law, it's what makes our spiritual journey authentic. I mean, today there are 700 churches in Singapore. 700 churches. It's like buffet out there, right? You go, you know, whatever you want, okay? But what we are doing here is we don't just want to enjoy a religious experience. What we want to do is we want to pursue God on His terms, right? That's why we wanted to anchor ourselves. We want to build this foundation. We are not building on popular culture. We are not building on the works of men, or much less the words of men. We are building on the solid rock. And, you know, I know many of you will remember we had this, in the middle of the year, this whole series called Fire Up. You remember that? You all remember that? F stands for food. Right, okay, no. Okay. Some of us cannot remember. F stands for faithfulness or faith, right? Integrity, responsibility, excellence. It's all on the screen for you now, right? Unity and prayer. And we're saying that we don't just want to know the Word of God. We want to allow this Word of God to begin to shape us. You know, some of you are hard to shape. Huh? Some of you are tough nuts to crack, right? But nevertheless, we want to allow the Word of God to slowly shape us. Amen? I know we are hard to change. Okay, we are stubborn people. But God's Word will slowly change us. And we want to make it a point. And, you know, it's not over. I trust that we are all still in the process of being transformed. But some of us, you know, along the way, we lose our way. We forget. After a while, F become food. Or E become entertainment. So after a while, you forget all these things. So today, we've done something to help you remember. Okay, we've made, let's see, what do I have it here? Okay, and some of you may have been seeing me wear this thing for a little while, right? So product testing, So we have made this for all of you. I call this rubber band, but they call it the wristband, right? But this rubber wristband, okay, has been made. We can just go ahead and give it out now. And okay, everyone, by the way, just as they are giving out, everyone gets one only, okay? It comes in different colors. It's got different words on it. But this is our Fire Up rubber wristband, okay? And it's a limited edition, only made once, I think so, right? It comes in different colors. Alright, so please don't fight over the colors. If you don't get the color that you want, or the word that you want, just smile sweetly at somebody and trade with the person for the color that you want, okay? We also have a different size for children. The children have smaller wrists, so they have a smaller one. Are they getting it today, children? Okay, I don't know. Maybe the children are getting it. I believe the children are getting the smaller ones, right? Okay, they're getting. Because yesterday they told me not getting, so I'm a bit confused also. Okay, so you're getting this stuff. Okay, as you do, maybe you can take a look at it. You know, at behind up it says, Fire Up Kus. Okay, our website is on the inside. And then there's a word on this. Okay, I like black color. And mine says, to pray. Okay, okay. How many of you have not received yet? Okay, just, okay, at the back there, okay? Yeah. Don't worry, it will come to you, okay? Don't panic. We've got more than enough for everybody, I hope. Unless some of you got four hands, right? Okay. This thing is pretty cool, isn't it? Right? Okay, mine says pray. How many of you have got pray? Wow, so many. You know, I'm so excited already. Because you know what? I think our prayer meeting this year, we have a lot of people. Because every time you forget, Friday night you're wearing this, you look at it, it says pray, you remember? Come to our prayer meetings, alright? not just that, okay? This is really a reminder, okay? A reminder for us to do those things. Now, you may notice that it doesn't always correspond to those fire up words, but they're just designed as a way of reminding us of the fire up principles, alright? Okay, so all those people will pray. Now, other than pray, what other words do we have? Anyone got something other than pray? Persevere, okay. How many of people here got persevere? Wow, that's good. Early on service, a lot of persevere, not sure why. But obviously, this will remind you. Some of you, beginning of the year, I decide to read the Bible. And then when you get to about Leviticus, and you start going through Chronicles, that's the time you wear this thing and you remember what? Persevere. Don't give up. Alright? Or maybe some of you are thinking, you know, I got to lose that 2 kilograms this year or something. Okay. Persevere. Alright? Other than persevere, what do we have? Focus. Okay. I'll really focus to the last one. Any other than that? Believing? Elevate. Okay. Elevate is good. Okay. What is elevate? Remember? Excellence. Okay. You are here to elevate somebody else. Okay? You want to lift someone else to a better place. So remember to encourage one another. Amen? When you're in church, don't just think about yourself. When you see the word elevate, don't just run for the elevator. Okay? When you see the word elevate, you look for somebody that you can encourage today. Okay? When you're wearing this, you say, you know, who can I encourage today? Who? And not just other people. Of course, you want to encourage yourself. Right? But part of elevate is to lift us up from where we were to a better place where God wants us to be. Amen? Amen? And of course, E is also for excellence. So whatever you do, do well. You know, I can't tell you how long we took to do this. Just because we try to look for the colors, okay? They didn't have exactly the color, you know, the people who are doing this will say, oh, Pastor Daniel, very picky, you know. But we wanted to do this excellently, as best as we can, okay? The next time we'll do it better, but my favorite color is still black, okay? Okay, other than elevate, what else do we have? Overcome, that's a good one, okay? Overcoming is so important because, you know, in the beginning of the year, some of you are looking with trepidation. Oh, your school term is starting, all the homework I'm going to get from a teacher, or the exams, or if you're a teacher, all the things you have to mark, you know, all the assignments you have to give, you know, or in your job, you think, look, you are designed to overcome. Amen? So you've got one of those things, every time you wear this, you look, I'm not going to be defeated. I mean, life can send all the, you know, curveballs your way, but you will not be defeated, you will overcome. Amen? Amen, amen. Any other than overcome? Focus. I saved that for last, okay? Because my wife is here. I want to talk about focus. Focus is so important, alright? And, you know, every now and then my wife will ask me to go to a supermarket to shop. Say, can we go to Cold Storage? Early on I say Guardian, okay? Can we go to Cold Storage to buy some fruits? Okay, let's say. And look, I'm a very focused person, okay? I say, yes, fruits, let's go. So I will go to Cold Storage. I am focused, alright? I got a laser pointer there, like fruit section. I'll go straight. But, okay. But before 2 minutes, 1 minute in, suddenly she's in the cake section, alright? Or she's in the egg section, or the coffee, or the milk section. And wait, I saw her. Wait. We didn't come here for those things. We came for fruits, okay? Now, you know what? I don't know how many of you are like that, huh? We get distracted very easily, right? Now, I believe that every single one of you want to grow in Christ. Amen? I believe so. I believe everyone. You're here because you want to grow in Christ. But you know what's the problem? The problem is the moment you step out of these doors, you know, suddenly food lah, problems lah, relationships, all kinds of things will conspire to distract you from the one thing. You came to get fruits. You want to be fruitful. But no. Suddenly you're chasing all kinds of things, right? And at the end of the day, you ask yourself, hey, why did I come to Cold Storage? Huh? Why am I? Okay, listen. When you're wearing this strap and says, focus, you stay focused. Amen? Okay? Now, all of you getting different ones. Okay, so anyone didn't get? Okay, you all got it, right? So we're going to have all this kind of persevering, overcoming, focused, elevating, praying people, right? And did I miss any? I don't think I missed any, right? So, but we'll see how this goes. Maybe if this is so popular, maybe we'll make more next time, right? But if we have extras, maybe we can make complete sets because they all come in different colors. They're all unique, right? But basically, when you wear this, just remember that, you know, we are on a journey to become God's people. Amen? Okay, so I hope you like that. Today is a very special day. Limited edition, only once in a lifetime, all right? And by the way, today on your way out, we have ice cream also, just to make it even sweeter. So, all right. Praise God. So, you know, we're going to look, so some of you remember throughout the whole series, we talk about things like faith. Remember faith? And we talk about, you know, the attitude of overcoming, right? And then we talk about excellence. Why it's important for us to give up in order to go up, right? Why on the way to a better place, sometimes you have to pay the price first, then you get it. We are paying the price, right? 2016 was hard work for some of you. We had to go through the Bible, go through the history of the Bible, you know. Some of you look at the church and hopefully you learn things that you never learned before. Amen? That you grew in ways that you gained a perspective of God that hopefully you had never had before. Okay? So that's what's important. So today, as we come to the end of the year, end of last year and the beginning of a new year, because I preach on Saturday and Sunday, so I get confused. So we want to look at Psalms 27 as a way of kind of tying this all together as we look forward. Okay, so we look behind. There's so much that we can thank God for. But now we want to look forward a little bit, alright? So, okay, let's kind of turn forward and look at Psalms 27. Let me talk about Psalm 27 a little bit. We don't really know when David wrote down this psalm. Okay, some people say it was at the beginning of his kingship. Some people say it was towards the end of his life. Maybe some people said when his father and mother passed away, he wrote this because of something he wrote further down in verse 7 and 8. But we don't really know. But what we do know is that David wrote this at a moment of reflection. He stopped at some point in his life and he started looking back and said, you know what? These are the things that have happened to me. And he began to reflect and he penned down these words in Psalms 27. We are only going to look at a small section of this, not the whole of it. But the other thing you notice about Psalm 27 is, maybe you can put the first verse up. You can see it consists of doublets, okay? There are like two, for every verse, there are almost like two sentences, right? And these two sentences are basically what we call parallels. Hebrew parallelism, right? Hebrews like to say the same thing twice. You know, like my mother like to say the same thing twice, you know? Have you bathed or not? Go and shower now. Okay, it means the same thing, okay? It's not two different things, it's the same thing. Now, in Hebrew writing, this parallel is very common, very, very common. We read Bible, you say something like, God said it twice, three times he uttered it, or something like this. He tends to repeat it, right? So, in this Psalm 27, you find that there are this whole series of doublets. Every verse is a doublet, and each doublet is a parallel, okay? So we're going to look at this. Psalms 27, verse 1. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of the three themes represented, this is about life. So David, as he looks at his life, now you got to remember, David was an exceedingly successful guy. Okay, he was the greatest king Israel had produced, the greatest warrior in his time, and he was a man who enjoyed popularity among his people. He was a guy who was successful, all right? But you know what? In all his successes, David never let it get to his head. He always remembered that he was, at best, in the words of Peter Scuera, a little king who ruled under a big king. You understand? So, to put it another way, David did not allow his successes, or for that matter, his failure, define who he was. When he looked back, he didn't think, oh, I'm successful, I did this, I did that, I conquered. No, none of those things He said, no, the Lord is my light. He is my salvation. So David always remembered he was not defined by the ups or the downs of his life. He was defined by God, what God had done in his life. Amen? So when you look back at 2016, I know so much has happened, but I want you to remember, no matter what happened, whether you succeeded or failed, whether you enjoyed the sweet taste of victory or the bitter taste of defeat, it doesn't matter. Those things do not define you. Amen? Amen. Some of us say, thank God. Thank God those things don't define us, right? It did not cause David to set his direction or change his direction, right? David did not say, my life is about, Now, some of us as Christians, sometimes we get caught up in our successes. God gives you some success, and then we get caught up in those things, and we lose our way, we lose our focus. Well, David did not do that, alright? Psalms 27 verse 2. Life comes with problems, if you didn't already. How many of you here today have problems in your life? Right? You know, some of you don't. It's amazing, right? You should come full time, right? Serve full time. the people, the only people in the world have no problems in Singapore, they have no problems. They live in Lim Chu Kang, right? They got no problems. Unless the government want to excavate that plot of land, right? But other than that, they have no problems. The rest of us, we're human beings. Life is a series of problems, alright? We do have problems in life. And, David says, the wicked came against me, my foes, my enemies and my foes, right? Verse 2, he says, my enemies, they stumble and fell, even though they came to eat up my flesh. This is not talking about zombie invasion or cannibals or alien or anything like this, right? It's just a metaphor saying that, I have many enemies who are coming up against me. In fact, in verse 3, in the next verse, he says, an army encamps against me and wars rise against me. But even so, my heart shall not fear, in this I will be confident. In Psalm 73, he says, my heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. This is David. Not only did he not allow his ups and he did not allow his circumstances and his enemies define him, right? Now, you got enemies, you got problems, you got adversities, you got issues, mountains in your way. Here's the thing. Those problems, those circumstances, they do not define who you are. They are not what life is all about. Okay? They are at best things along the way in life. We all got. The next time you've got problems, remember David. He had problems too. There were people, enemies at the door waiting to take his life, right? And yet, he says, but God, I put my confidence in God. Okay? God is the strength of my life. So, God did not allow his circumstances, his life, his successes to define him. He did not allow his circumstances, or for that matter, his enemies to define him, alright? Now, before we go to the next verse, I want you to look at this next slide, which, okay, don't get panic, don't get afraid of it, right? It's okay that you can't read it. You only need to read the red words, okay? So that one I think you can read. Now, what this is this is really Psalms chapter 27, verse 1, 2, and 3, okay? And you notice that every verse is a doublet, right? You see two lines for every verse, right? Now, here's the interesting thing that you don't normally see. In English, you can't see it, but you notice the first verse consists of a doublet of five words. You can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? Counting from the right to the left. And then the second line is a doublet of six words. And the third verse is a doublet of seven words. So what do you see here? What is happening here is in the Hebrew writing structure, the author is constructing a series of steps, right? You go up on step number 5, and then you go up on step number 6, and then you get to step number 7, which is the perfect number. And then everyone is asking, well, if this is the perfect number, what comes after 7? Do you follow? Right? Now, this kind of thing, you lose it all in the English, because you can't see this in English. But in the Hebrew, you can see what's happening is you have a series of steps. These steps are built on his life, his challenges, his adversities, his circumstances. All these things only serve as a foundation on which you build towards the next thing that's coming. Right? So I guess the main part, all this is introduction. The main thing, we're coming to it, is verse 4. What is this all about? Why do I have success and failures in life? Why do I have enemies in life? Why do I have circumstances that are sometimes for, sometimes against me in life? These are merely steps so that you can go to a better place. Amen? Amen? Okay, so let's see this verse 4. The next verse is what this whole thing is all about, really. Okay? So, next verse, it says, one thing. Everyone say one thing. Wow. After all those things, right? My enemies, my life, my success, my, after all of that, after all is said and done, one thing. That's so important in life. That's what I call focus. Okay? So when you, actually we should make a strap called one thing. Now that I think about it, right? So that I can give to my wife when she shops, buy one thing. Okay? Don't buy 20 things. Okay, just kidding, okay? She doesn't buy 20 things. Right? Usually I pay for it. Anyway, so, one thing I have asked from my husband, no, sorry, one thing I've asked from the Lord that I will seek. Okay? No, David, he's got so many problems in his life. He's got enemies waiting to kill him. He's got wars against him, right? He's got all these problems facing him. But you know what he asked for? One thing. Wow. That is the focus of this. You understand? At this end of this year, so many things have happened. But only one thing is really important. Sometimes we tend to get caught up in the many things that have come before us. And then we get worried and stressed up over the many things that are going to happen. But in fact, for David, only one thing. Actually, I'm going to read it. You can read it in English up there. But I'm going to read it to you as I translate it literally from the Hebrew. Okay, it says, one thing I ask from Yehovah that I will seek, that I may sit in the house or sit or dwell in the house of Yehovah all the days of my life, to behold or to see the comfort and pleasantness of Yehovah, and to seek or reflect in his palace. Okay, this is David, alright? This is what he's saying here. Now, what is he talking about? What is this one thing that he asked? You know what is the one thing he asked? He could ask for so many things, right? But he asked for this one. He says, basically, I'm going to paraphrase it. He says, God, I want one thing. And that one thing is, I want to be near you and enjoy you. That is all he asked for. This is David, right? The one thing that he really wanted to was to enjoy God's presence. To be near God. To be intimate with God. Friends, you know, we look at 2016, so many things happen. I want to commend to you this thinking about David. Because there are many things in life, they are not important. Particularly as the years fly by, you notice that we get involved in things that are all, you know, when we're young, we're worried about so many things, right? We worry whether we can get a nice job or not, whether we can get a good husband or wife or not, whether we can, you know, get a house or not, or, you know, we can get good friends, or we worry about all these things. When you get older and older, suddenly you realize those things, as important as they once were, they kind of fade in their importance. And then you start to kind of narrow down, less and less things become important to you. Do you realize that? Do you? You know, recently, New Year, right? We kind of clean house. We threw away a lot of things. Some, why do we even have some of these things, right? Of course, some things people give and all that. But really, you realize that actually, as you grow, there are very few things that are important. And one thing has a lot of power when you're focused on the one thing that's truly important in your life. So today, 2017, right here, what is your one thing? What is the one thing? You know, I remember in 1 Chronicles, actually, I'll mention this later, but, you know, God came to Solomon. He said, Solomon, tell me, what's the one thing that you want? Okay? It's like, here's your wish, right? Wow, Solomon is probably ringing his hand. Wow. If you only got one wish. Okay, imagine today, right? Someone came up to you. Let's say some very rich person, like, let's say who? Let's say Donald Trump came to you, all right? Right. And say, you know, I'm going to give you one thing. Whatever it is that you want, what would you ask for? Blank check. Wow, some of you are very smart. I want 3 more wishes. You know, some people say, children, they know this. If I only one wish, my one wish would be have 3 more wishes. Then you can continue to feed this, right? But if you really have only one thing, what would you want? Okay, so think about this. Because for David, everything fell aside. When it came down to it, when the rubber met the road, he had only one thing. He wanted to be intimate with God, near God, and enjoy his presence. Wow. I mean, you know, that's something, I think that's pretty radical. Because this mindset will change how you look at your journey, your spiritual journey in 2017. You see, for David, his journey with God wasn't something to be endured, but something to be enjoyed. You know, I mean, when he walked with God, when he prays, when he spends time with God, when he reads God's word, to him, this is a privilege. This is such a joy. You know, for some of us, I got to do homework before cell group. Don't read later. I got no answer. Very loose face. Right? So, it's a burden. But when you are touched by God, now listen, this is something very tricky, okay? It has to be something that happens deep inside you. It's like falling in love, okay? Now imagine if a boy and a girl, right? They are not in love. But the boy has to do all this. Must buy flowers lah, must write card lah, must smile lah, must call all the time lah, must send messages to update where he is all the time. You know, this is such a chore, irritating, right? It's such a, why do I have to do all these things, right? But listen, when the boy is in love, everything changes, correct? Phone bill also, you don't care how much it costs to send so many thousands of text messages, am I right? Am I correct? I mean, nowadays you got WhatsApp, you don't have to pay. But back in those days, SMS is very expensive, right? And you do all these things. What changed? It's not the form, but the heart has changed. Listen, David, his heart was there. That's why his one thing is this. Some of us, our heart is elsewhere. The Bible says, for where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Isn't it? So today, as we come to this, you know, end of year, you don't have to worry about so many things. You don't have to worry about economy, right? You don't have to worry about China, okay? You don't have to worry about all those things. Really, there's only one thing. For David, God was the strength of his heart. That was what he was seek, right? In fact, later on he says so. We're going to look at that, all right? So, in 2017, as we look forward now, this is our one thing. Our one thing is to draw near to God. Amen? Amen? You know, the Bible says in James chapter 4 verse 8, if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. You know, what can be better? I mean, if you're not used to, you know what, you need to get used to being near God. Because you're going to spend an eternity doing that. Okay? That's an eternity doing that. So, you know, when we are here, what we want to do in 2017 is, we have laid this foundation, now we're going on to the really fun part, okay? We want to really draw near to God. So in the next few months, we're going to actually begin a series called The Charismatic Impulse. And this is really to understand why this whole being charismatic thing, how it is relevant to us and why it's important in so far as our wanting to draw near to God. Now I'm saying this because I realize that actually one of the things that the charismatics are good at a lot of things, but some things they're really bad at is actually teaching and Bible. Quite honestly, there are anyhow quote Bible left, right, and center, right? But not very organized, not very systematic. We want to look at why it is important for us to be charismatic, to allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in our lives. And not just theoretically, but how we can practically live that. Amen? Okay, so there's going to be a whole series to talk about how we can, through understanding these things, gain a freedom so that in this church, we can be a place where you can move freely in the Spirit. Amen? Where God can really do stuff in our lives. But we're not caught up with the unnecessary things, okay? So we're not going to be religious about a lot of stuff. And sometimes we're caught up with, you know, this religious style, that religious style. What we really want is just one thing. It's God's presence, alright? For the lack of a better word, we want to pull God's presence right into our midst. But He's already here. Amen? Okay, so that's the first thing. Of course, after that, we want to look at some mini-series, you know, some Bible stuff. But then we will look at the life of David. We'll spend the second half of the year looking pretty much at the whole life of David. I know many of you have heard of David here and there. You know a little bit of this and that. But you know what? We're going to look at David from the beginning to the end of his life. And you know, this is such a wonderful study because this is a lesson in teaching us how to live as Christians. You know, so often we hear about Christians, but what does it practically mean? Now, David's life is amazing because it is recorded for us, not just his successes, but many of his failures. And you know what? We all like to listen to people's failures, right? I mean, you listen to people's success, then you get jealous, right? But when you listen to people's failures, you feel good, right? So, we want to look at someone's failures because sometimes there's so much that we can learn and that we can identify with David's failures. And from there, learn what it means to be a man or a woman after God's own heart. Amen? So, this is what we will be doing. But the theme that underscores this whole year is we want to draw near to God. We want to allow God to... You know what? As a pastor, one of our frustrations is this, you know. We want to bring people to God, right? So we bring them because we think like how Saul became Paul. Remember how he was on this journey from Jerusalem to Damascus, right? Along the way, he was journeying there on this road, right? North of Israel, northeast of Israel. As he was journeying, something happened. Along the road, suddenly someone turned on the light, right? The light shone upon him and his life was changed forever. That one encounter, that presence of God, that intimacy with God, he had a conversation with God there, right? That was the turning point of his life. That was when Saul became Paul, right? So as pastors, we want to bring you along the road of Damascus. The thing is that we can't turn on the light, you see, right? We don't have the switch. So, you know, we bring you up and down this road, walk up and down, and some pastor, we walk up and down quite a few times. What are we doing? We're waiting for the light to come on, okay? Right? I can't turn on the light, but you know what? You can turn on the light with God. Because the Bible says, you know, for if you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. Amen? So as we go on this journey, we are on the road of Damascus. We are on a journey to a better place. But if you put your heart in it, you know, the light is going to come on for you. And when the light comes on for you, man, you know, I'm out of job. I don't need to do anything more, okay? Because that's all my job is to bring you there, to set the foundation so that, you know, the parameters are clear. And once we got there, we find that we have a law of liberty, right? That the Holy Spirit can move freely among us in a place where we can truly call the kingdom of God. Amen? Okay, so that's what we're going to be doing in the rest of... Wow, time passed so fast. Okay, so I'm going to just kind of wrap this up here. So as we come to the end of the year, two things I want you to keep in your mind. First, looking back in 2016, you made it. Okay, you made it. You survived the year. Okay, no one did such a harm to you. You are here now. Okay, you made it. What is the one thing that you want to thank God for? What is the one thing that you really come to God and say, God, you know what? Thank you. I really thank you for this. Okay? And then as you look forward, what is your one thing? What is the one thing? In Psalm it says, one thing I will ask. That's the thing. The word there is literally ask or pray. One thing I will ask of you. What is your one thing that you're asking God? And because you only have one wish, okay? Keep in mind, don't ask for small things, okay? Don't ask for, please reduce my problems this year. Please don't ask for small things. If you're going to ask for something, ask for the right thing. Amen? So you see what happened was when God asked Solomon, what is the one thing? You know Solomon, he asked for wisdom and knowledge, right? That he may rule well. This was the answer he got from God. God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, you have not asked for riches, for wealth, for honor, or the life of enemies. You know, sometimes we want to ask for this thing. We ask for security, right? We ask, you know, because why? Why do we ask for money and all these things? Because in our heart of hearts, the honest answer is, God is not enough for us. We feel more secure with money than with God. That's why you ask for money, right? If you feel more secure with God, you ask for God. Am I right? Right? I mean, yeah, let's be honest. Sometimes this happens to us. Okay, so, God says, you didn't ask for all these things. You have asked for wisdom, or you didn't even ask for long life, okay? But you ask for wisdom and knowledge for yourself that you may judge my people over whom I've made you king, okay? You choose well. Wisdom and knowledge I will give you. I grant this to you. But besides that, I will also give you riches, wealth, honor, such as none of the kings have had nor before you, nor shall any after you have the like. Okay? Look, when you give the right answer, and we're not just talking about answer, but when you have the right attitude of your heart, all this other stuff, it will be yours as well. That's why you pick the right blessing is so important. Amen? So today, what is your one thing? Will you close your eyes, you know, as we think? Don't just give the answer. God cannot be tricked, okay? It has to be something that something of a place that you have come to. What is the thing that you want to say? Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. But in spite of all the things that have happened, both the good and the bad, we now come, we ascend those steps through life. We see that everything that happens in our life, the ups and the downs, the adversities, these are merely steps to lead us to the one thing. Challenges that you might face. You know what? God allowed those things so that you may get up those steps to verse 4. The one thing. Father, I pray today for all of us who are in this room that we will enjoy your presence. Lord, that you will be not just in song, but you will truly be our heart's one singular desire. Help us, Lord, to keep our focus on that. Forgive us, Lord, we often get distracted and, you know, get caught up in the sight lines. But Lord, today, as we look to 2017, this is the desire of our heart, the one thing, to draw near to you, to be able to enjoy and reflect in your palace, to enjoy your closeness. We think about you being Jehovah Shammah, God who is always there. Lord, may this be the true prayer of our hearts individually and our hearts as a church, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen. Will you stand together as we sing this closing song, all right? And then we'll have the announcement and the communion.
Draw me close to you.